What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. Ben Johnson spoke earlier at Halas Hall today, so we're going to take a listen and react.
All right. Looking forward to getting the guys back in today and get rolling on this opponent. The more tape you watch, the more respect you have for them. They've had an incredible season so far, and they're really sound. They're really talented, really well coached across the board. So we'll have our work cut out for us, but challenge we'll look forward to. So I'll go ahead and open it up from there.
You guys mentioned, I think maybe as far back as training camp, that there was a lot of Matthew Stafford that you wanted Caleb to watch and emulate. What specifically about that, and how have you seen that go?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think he's fundamentally sound. And so when you talk about the footwork, I think it starts there with him. But then as you talk about an experienced player that sees the field really well, he understands defenses, he knows how to manipulate defenses. He's got a great feel for the game. And that translates to everything he does every single week. They're very much a premier play operation. You know, they get into really good football plays against whatever defense that you're into. And that's a credit to the head coach and play caller, obviously. But also Matthew has a lot to do with that, because he's got complete control of everything that's going on. And so it's no wonder that they're scoring so many points that they are right now.
When you want a young player to watch film of a veteran, do you connect the two at all? Or did you put Matt in touch with Caleb?
No, the guys? Something like that. But certainly admire Matthew from afar, and knowing him for a couple seasons firsthand, I've got a tremendous amount of respect for him.
Ben, how would you evaluate the state of your run game the last 3 weeks, especially?
Yeah, it feels like it's dipped a little bit. Not something that we certainly want. Certainly late in the season, we wanted that to pick up. Playoffs, weather games like this, you certainly want to be able to lean on your run game. So those are some elements we're looking at. What can we do to help ignite that? Is both efficient runs to stay on track and ahead of the chains, and also explosive runs as well. Where can we find a few of those? I'll say this: we got a really tough opponent in that regard. I think they do a really good job. I think the front is their strength. These guys at the line of scrimmage are really good football players. I think they shed blocks at an elite level. I think they are relentless. I think they're violent, really across the board. So I have a lot of respect for them, and we're going to have to be on our A game to be able to run it on this crew.
What are the challenges their front seven present in terms of pressure, quarterback?
Yeah, I think that's the other thing that jumps off the tape, is being able to maintain the depth and the width of the pocket is going to be quite a challenge as well. Verse is one of the more violent edge players I've seen on tape so far this year. He does a great job turning speed into power. He'll take a tackle, go right down the middle of him, and take him right onto the lap of the quarterback. The interior, they are, like I said, relentless. I think that's almost not only talented, but just the fact that they do it play in and play out, and they don't take any plays off, that makes it very difficult, because you got to bring it every single snap. Can't have any lapses up front, or else they'll make you pay. You know, whether it's Turner or Fisk at the three technique, Puna Ford's playing high level football, a little bit more in the running game than the passing game, but yet he's a problem for you, you know. And so, you know, I can't say enough good things about the level with which they're playing up front right now.
Then Sean McVay was talking about what he studied from your offense. What have you studied from him? What have you gleaned from his offense?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think my history has been obviously with Jared Goff, and Jared started with Sean, and so there was a lot of comfort that Jared had from his time with Sean that we looked to, you know, accentuate there in Detroit. And so that was one of the pillars of our playbook, were some of those concepts from LA, and also augmenting it with some of the stuff that I had been around, that Coach Campbell had been around, and the rest of the offensive staff. And so It's a marriage of a bunch of stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, I've watched a ton of LA tape over the years, obviously when Jared was there, and then that's continued since Matthew's been there as well.
And ahead of the draft a couple of years ago, did you have any interaction with or do much homework on Nacua?
No. He was, I wasn't coaching receivers at the time, and so that it wasn't on my radar.
When you see what he's become, how do you describe what makes him such a problem?
Yeah, well, I think you look at a guy like that, I think it starts with this guy is a football player. Take position out of it, and he clearly loves the game. He clearly is all about ball. He reminds me a lot of St. Brown, you know, another guy that I felt very similar about, because he's not just excellent at catching the football and route running, but he does everything. He's willing to put his nose in there and get his hands dirty in the running game. The versatility with which he has, he's in the box inserting through the B and C gaps, not only to block, but to run routes. I mean, physical player, tough player, and you can tell a really dependable player as well.
Stafford's numbers against the blitz are pretty good this year. How do you sort of pick your spots?
Yeah, I think his numbers versus everything's pretty good this year. You know, he's playing at MVP level, and you know, I think that's going to be our challenge, right? I mean, we got to have guys step up here this week, both up front and on the back end, to make things as difficult as we possibly can for them. And so, whether that's bring pressure, whether that's play coverage, and depend on our front four to get after them, you know, it's one of those things where it's going to take everybody. It's going to take our defense playing good football for 60 minutes, and it's going to take our offense being able to keep up with an offense of this caliber as well.
Is there anything you take away? I mean, they got into a shootout last week, or at least like a late game rally where they had to fight off the Panthers. I know you guys have done this now 7 different times this season. Is there any parallels between how they've had to win some of these tight games, or anything that you use as far as game planning, like to what you guys have done too?
Yeah, I don't know about that necessarily. I think we're more focused on ourselves in terms of, we don't want to put ourselves in a hole against a team like this, like we've done a number of times this year. You know, I think we need to, you know, we talk about playing a complete game on offense. Like, this is the week that needs to happen for us to be able to beat this team.
When you came back, you just kind of felt him in the game. Going back and watching the film, what did you like about what he was able to
do? Yeah, well, I think he's a guy that we count on, and I know the sack numbers is what everybody looks at when it comes to edge rushers, and he's at double digits. He's played really good football in that regard, but as I've told him as the year's gone along, it's for me, it's not just the sacks, it's also the pressures and the quarterback hits. And so when you're watching from the sideline and you're feeling him affecting the quarterback a different type of way, I do think that's really important. So he stepped up. I felt like that since the bye week. He's playing really good in the running game. That gets overlooked. But also in the passing game, I felt him get after the quarterback a little bit more. So when you combine that with a guy like Booker on the other side, who I think continues to ascend, you know, I think it gives us a pretty good chance.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Ben, you guys have had a lot of these emotional wins. Did you sense anything different from the group because it happened in the playoffs? And for a lot of them, that was a first.
Yeah, well, I think they've handled it really well. And I think we're going to do a good job here shifting the focus, starting our work week just like we've been doing each and every week. And that's really what it comes down to, is you can't let a win or a loss linger for too long. And that's our job as coaches, to make sure we have the right mindset going into the week. And I keep saying it every week, it feels like, but our veteran leadership, I mean, they're phenomenal. I don't know if I've been around it quite at this level before. Just week in and week out, you know that they have a good pulse for the locker room, and their message is going to be really what our team needs to hear.
The topic of veteran leadership, how have you felt Grady this year and even recently in that regard?
Yeah, well, I think he is wired the way we want our entire team wired. I felt that from his first press conference here all the way up until now. And, you know, we hit that little hiatus, if you will, early in the season where he's working through his injury. And so his impact probably isn't quite as pronounced as it was in the off season or where it is now. Like, I feel it. These young players are coming along. They're developing. And I think his playoff experience and really these big games that he's been a part of throughout his career, I do think that that translates and really hits home with a lot of our guys.
And what's it like coaching Caleb in big moments, and what have you learned about his poise?
Yeah, there's not a whole lot you need to say to him on the sideline. You know, we just make sure we're on the same page in terms of what the situation is and what we need to accomplish and how quickly we need to accomplish it. But beyond that, he doesn't, it's not like he needs a pep talk or a rah-rah or anything like that. He's ready to go. And been saying it all along. He rises to the occasion time and time again. It's really impressive to see a young player like this be so clutch.
That was Ben Johnson speaking today at Hallis Hall. We did edit out a couple questions for the sake of time. And this is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. So what sticks out to me is the way he talked about building his playbook, or at least his plays for Jared Goff, off of a lot of Sean McVay's concepts, which makes sense when you watched the Detroit Lions offense with Jared Goff. So, like I said, I feel like these two head coaches and their schemes echo each other, and it would make sense as to why, knowing how those plays worked for his team and thusly his quarterback in Detroit, he would have so much respect for Sean McVay and how he puts a playbook together. A
couple of things that stuck out to me. First of all, the way he talked about Puka Nacua and how he reminds him of Amon-Ra St. Brown, because he is a football player above all else. Yes, he's good at, obviously, catching the football and running routes. But the other thing that is concerning is just kind of, hey, we're going to depend on our front four to get to the quarterback, because that's been a plan that's worked not enough of the time. And I just wonder, when Dennis Allen steps up to the podium tomorrow, how he's going to talk about the need to affect the quarterback.
I think that that's code for him saying we're not going to be able to blitz a lot. Talk about a team who will pick apart and find the slightest opening or take advantage of man coverage. It's these guys. So that's my concern. You cannot afford to have pressure that doesn't work up front, because you can't lose the bodies at the second and third levels of the defense.
And then conversely, the only other thing that really jumped out is how he talked about the front four for the Rams and how good they are, and it's going to be difficult, in his words, to run the football. That is not a vote of confidence you want to hear going into a game like this on Sunday night.
If you see the way the Bears have run the ball in the last, I'd say, four or five games, then that probably continues a trend on Sunday that we've seen. Opponents are learning how to defend the Bears' run schemes better. We'll talk to Olin Krutz about that. I think he'll be really good to discuss that with at 125. But that's something that your eyes are not deceiving you. They're not running the ball as effectively as they were. And individual matchups, unfortunately, the better teams you play, that's going to be a big part of it. Coming up next here on Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score, we have to check in with our friend Courtney Turner, the host of Holding Court podcast. You know her as Justin Turner's wife, and she's a Bears meatball. So she decided to go to the game, even though the fam had already moved back to the West Coast. So we'll get her report, and then also apparently an interesting conversation between her and Justin at halftime next.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.